In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I want to review with you some things that I talked about yesterday. And Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, when there is a therefore, you have to see what it's there for. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or for your body, what you shall put on. In other words, the Lord says, don't worry about food. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry. Then he tells us, consider the birds, for they neither sow nor reap, and they don't have storehouses or barns, but God feeds them. How much more are you better than birds? How much more? Jesus became a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was brought forth in Bethlehem, and died on a cross out of love for you. How much more are you better than the fowls, than the birds? Infinitely better, because you have an eternal soul, because of the love God has for you. That love is eternal. He sent his Son, and his Son gave his life on the cross as a living sacrifice. Oh, the glorious redemption. We need to thank God for the glorious redemption. And which of you, with taking thought, can add 1 inch to your height? If you then are not able to do a least thing like that, why do you take thought about the rest? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say to you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Are you not more important than the lilies of the field? I told you they look like poppies. Are you not more important that you are loved by the living God, that the living God sent his own Son, Jesus, to be a sacrifice for us so that we would become children of God and enter heaven? Are you not more important than birds? Are you not more important than flowers? Of course you are. You might say, but I've sinned. Then go to confession. Under the cross, let the blood wash it away. You are more important than anything. There's somebody who's thinking of suicide. God loves you. You are more important than I could even imagine. You say, I feel like gum underneath somebody's shoe. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and God has a plan for your life. Do not take it. God has a plan for your life. How do I find it? You get on your knees and you say, Lord, I want your plans for me. I surrender to you. I surrender to you, Lord. My Lord, this is real. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Why does he say that, cast into the oven? Because by the end of the day, the heat of the day at Holy Land in the summer destroys the lilies of the field. That's like an oven. How much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see, you don't have to worry. What shall I eat, or what shall I put on, or what shall I drink? Yes, we need to have a plan if we're preparing food for people, but we don't have to worry. Don't have to worry. Just do the best we can. Do the best we can. And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be double-minded. For all these things the pagans of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. Yes, you need of clothes, need of food. He knows. If you do all that you can do, and you need to do all that you can do, God will provide. God is a provider. He is a provider. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, the Lord's good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. The Father has given you the kingdom and given me the kingdom, and it's an unshakable kingdom. It's an unshakable kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure which the heavens that faileth not, for the thief approacheth neither moth corrupt. In other words, the things that we have will either grow old and rust, or the moths will eat them. In other words, everything is passing. I told you yesterday that people are buying space so that they can put their old furniture there. That's wrong. Give it away. Give it away. Have a garage sale. Give it away. Give it away. It's time for us to lighten up rather than to get heavy with things. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure is with God, who gives you the kingdom, that's where your heart will be. What are you always thinking of? Oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. I want you at the center of my life. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself with bags. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then we go on to the unfaithful servant. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, do you speak these things to us or to everybody? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over the household and give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. I told you yesterday about the wedding of the people in the Middle East. It's not about the bride in the Middle East. It's about the groom in the Middle East. And I told you that we went to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and all the women were together. They were dancing and eating, and the bride was there. And I said, where is the groom? And he's hidden. The groom men are preparing him, perfuming him, washing him. He's ready to meet his bride. You see, in the Middle East, it's not about the bride. It's about here comes the groom. In the United States, it's all about the bride. The poor groom stands by the exit door. It's sad. I'm telling you, the steward that the Lord finds awake doing what he's supposed to do will be blessed, especially knowing that we are those people who are when people are not looking. Who are you when people are not looking? Who am I when people are not looking? That's who I really am. Oh, I could put on a face and I could say to you, I'm so faithful, I'm so this, I'm so that. My mother used to say, self-praise stinks. But the point of the matter is, who am I? I am the person who I am when nobody is looking. You are the person who you are when nobody is looking. You must know today that you're most beautiful, and that you're most beautiful, and God cares for you more than the birds, more than the lilies of the field, more than anything, even more than Solomon. Why? Because you have Jesus in your heart. Jesus dwells in your heart. You are God's son, God's daughter. You are his, and he is yours. We belong to him. Consider the birds. You know, look at the birds when they fly over us. They don't sow. They don't reap. But God feeds them all, and you are far better than any bird. Jesus says in verse 49, chapter 12, I have come to send fire on the earth, and I will that it would be kindled. I have a baptism, talking about the cross, to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it is accomplished. Suppose you that I have come to give peace to the earth. Have I come to give peace to the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. I tell you, you talk to people about Jesus and you're going to find division. Jesus causes people to be in division. They don't mind talking about God, but when you mention Jesus, they say, well, you know what, you're a Jesus freak. I'm telling you, Jesus causes division. That's what the scripture says. For henceforth there shall be five in a house, three divided against two, and two divided against three. Father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. I'm telling you, when we give our life to Jesus, people will say, we're Jesus freaks. We want nothing to do with you. That is part of the persecution. When I talk about God, everybody says, oh yeah, we all have a God. God is real, yes, but who is your God? My God is the God of the church and the God of the scriptures, the God who sent his only begotten son to die on the cross out of love for us. That is my God. I don't know who God is to people, but I know that he sent his son, and his son's name is Jesus, and Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you know that today? That he cares for you. That he cares for you more than I could even imagine or tell you. He cares for you, and he's never going to stop caring for you. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, you say, ah, there comes a shower. And so it is. They know how to interpret the signs of the weather. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And that comes to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time that Jesus has come, this time that he has come as the Son of God, this time that he has come as the ransom price for our salvation? You can discern things, you know. You can discern the earth. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. You see, we can know all we can about the earth. And you know, what's happened is this. We need to spend more time thinking about heaven than about the earth. We know all the things about the earth. They give us a forecast 4 days in ahead. Not that they're all right, but they do the best they can. But what do we know of heaven? What do we know of heaven? Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus wants us to experience heaven. Heaven seeps in when we worship God. Heaven seeps in when we pray. Heaven seeps in when we celebrate the Eucharist. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time, the time that God sent his Son? Yea, even of yourselves judge ye not what is right. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, as you are in the way, give diligence that you may be delivered from him, lest he hale you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer cast you into prison. I tell you, make friends with the magistrate while you're on the way to the court, so that things will be fine. I remember being with somebody on the way to the courts. I was going to be a witness. And this person was talking to me in English, but he sometimes used Spanish. I was able to tell the judge that he does not understand all English, but he also speaks Spanish. I just witnessed it. And the judge, he won the case because of that. He won the case because I said, I just witnessed him speaking Spanish when he couldn't possibly speak the English that he wanted to tell me, and I didn't understand what he was saying anyway. There were present at that season, chapter 13, some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, suppose that these Galileans were sinners above other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does it mean to repent? It means to take a 180-degree turn. It doesn't mean a 360-degree, you'll be at the same place. It means that we turn. We know that we're doing wrong. We know that we are wrong. We know that we're looking at things on the internet that we shouldn't be looking at. What does it mean to repent? To turn around, to take this off your computer, to go to confession, to repent. To repent, turn around. Jesus Christ came so that we would repent of our sins and be baptized and so share in eternal life that he gives us. He says this is eternal life, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What about those 18 upon whom the pool of Siloam fell and slew them? Do you think they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I say to you, no, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus talked about repentance. Repentance is a 180-degree turnaround. Repentance. We are all called to repent. This is Lent. It is the season of repentance. It is the season of repentance. I told you Lent means spring as I look at the 8 feet of snow that we have outside the window of the studio. Lent means spring, but it's coming. The sun's getting higher in the sky every day, and this snow will melt. But we need to be children of God. We need to know that we're no better than anybody else, and we're no worse. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The 18 men whom the Tower of Siloam fell on them, they were not greater sinners than the rest of the people in Jerusalem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, and he planted it in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Why do you have a fig tree? Because you want fruit. Why do you have a grapevine? Because you want fruit. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit from this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down to the ground. And the man answered, saying unto Jesus, unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig it and fertilize it. And if it does not bear fruit well, then cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Always on the Sabbath, things begin to happen in the synagogue. I wonder how, if we are as experienced to know that in the church there are these people. That's why we have to preach life. We have to preach the power of God. We have to preach the cross. We have to preach the resurrection. And beheld, there was a woman in the synagogue which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and she was bowed down and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, thou art loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. These miracles should be happening in every church. Why? Because Jesus resides in the tabernacle. Jesus is the Lord of the church, and he just wants us to have a little bit of faith that will get us through, that would heal the sick. That will heal the sick. This should be happening every place. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. Well, let me tell you, rather than have a party, he's legalistic. I'm telling you one thing, that when grace goes out the window, legalism comes in. That's real. When we are not filled with grace and believe in grace, legalism comes in. This is legalism. Jesus showed this woman grace. He healed the woman on the Sabbath day. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore, come to be healed then and not on the Sabbath day." And the Lord then answered him and said, "You hypocrite, you hypocrite. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to be watered? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. These things should be happening in every church, because Jesus is present in every Catholic church, because the Blessed Sacrament is there, because we have the Word of God. These things should be happening in every church. I told you about the man who was healed of blindness. He was at a Mass that Father Adam was doing. And Father Adam spoke about disciples. We don't have very many disciples of Jesus. And when he was leaving, when Father Adam went to the back of the church to greet the people, this man came up to him and said, "I am a disciple of Jesus." And Adam said, "How do you know that?" He says, because I was blind and now I see. When the priest raised up the sacred host, one eye was healed. When the priest raised up the precious blood, the other eye was healed. I have given my life to Jesus. I am a disciple of the Lord. Adam had to shut up. He was talking to a disciple. I have given my life to Jesus. Now I'm asking you, have you given your life to Jesus? You're greater than the birds. You're greater than the lilies of the field. Jesus came to save you by his blood. Have you given your life to Jesus? How do I do that? I say, "Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I give you my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I give you everything that I have and all that I am." Everything that I have, that's very important. Not only everything that I am, but everything that I have is yours. I want to use it for the kingdom of God. Let's kind of take up the fragments and see what fragments we can remember. "You are greater than the birds of the air, and you are greater than the lilies of the field. They don't worry, and neither should you. God will supply what you need if you do all that you need to do. Worrying is useless. It is counterproductive. Just trust Jesus. That the Lord has given the little flock, us, the kingdom of God, which is unshakable. That where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. That Jesus came and there is division, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. And Jesus always causes division because people do not want to give their life to him. I know that's the reason. You might say they might even not know that they were asked to give their life to him. That's true. But subconsciously they know that Jesus is looking for everything. He's not only looking for a yes, "I give myself" at the altar call, but he's looking that we give him everything. Everything, mind, body, spirit, and all the goods that we have. That's what he's looking for. And he wants to give us only what he can give us, and that is peace. That is peace. He has come to give us peace, not the world peace. It's division in the world, but he has come to give the disciples peace. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives it do I give it. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For I say to you, peace, peace, peace." Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We pray for the persecuted Christians. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, brought forth in Bethlehem, was crucified on the cross out of love for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You are better than the birds. You are better and more beautiful than the wildflowers. You have been given the kingdom of God. Rejoice today that you are loved with an everlasting love, and that God will never leave you nor forsake you. His name is Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.